Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and we're going to be carding it again. I love cards. I love to know what cards have to offer us in life. They're so rich with information. And we've had many shows about cards. And I'm talking about the 52-card deck. And my guest, again, is an expert on cards and a good friend. And we love to talk together about cards because we both are so intrigued by them. Alexander Dunlop. Alexander, welcome to Energy Stew.
Peter, thanks again for having me. I feel like we're going to let listeners in on our conversation that we would be having anyway. So we're just going to invite other people to listen in on our conversation here today.
Right. But let's start off by telling people about your book that they can buy. Mm-hmm. And also, we're going to be talking about different cards that people have. Mm-hmm. And everyone has a card that they're born to, has a whole hand of cards. Right. And they can find out about their birth card by going to your website. So let's give them that.
Sure. So I started a nonprofit foundation to share this knowledge. And the website is lifeelevated.life. Lifeelevated.life. And you can put in your date of birth on the site, and it will give you a mini reading of your birth card. If you want a fuller description and explanation, this is a copy of my book, if you can see it on the screen.
Well, this is mostly a radio audience, so.
Oh, right. So the name of the book is Play Your Cards Right, A Sacred Guide to Life on Earth. And that's up on Amazon. And there's
Play Your Cards Right.
So, Your Cards Right.
Right. And for those of you who heard that there might be a video of this, it'll be on YouTube at some point at the PRN, Progressive Radio Network, or Gary Null YouTube channel that this will be posted. So I'm very excited to talk about cards with you. And this show, what I really want to look at with you is how our birth cards carry a shadow that we're all faced with. We each have shadows in our lives, challenges. So the birth card is really what our power is. It's who we're here to be and how we're here to be. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be challenged. And it can have very difficult sides to it. And it depends on our other cards. It depends on, there's so many soul agreements that we come here with that can play a deep role in how we play our cards. And so for some of us, maybe the shadow isn't so dark, and for others, it might be darker. As you say in your teaching that, you know, there's a high side to a card and a low side to a card.
Well, there are, and then there are many shades of gray in between, and it all depends on our choice of how we play our cards.
Right, and that might have to do with our soul essence and personality issues that we've come here to deal with in life.
That's right, and it may, in my experience, it has a lot to do with our conditioning of how we were raised and what beliefs we hold and what religion we were born into and family circumstances. That conditions our choices a lot as well.
Right. And I believe that's all soul directed too, that we actually are born into circumstances that are going to reflect all of these patterns.
Sure.
And because life meets our cards. You know, just like we know about human design, life always meets our design in life. Mm-hmm. Who we're here to be, we can't help it because life will give it to us anyway.
Well, that's right. And as true. And then I have also seen for myself and in with my private clients that the way life meets us can and does shift in sometimes surprising and delightful ways. That is still,
of course, we love that.
Yeah, it's still a fulfillment of
Right.
Maybe you know, in a order or in a different shade.
I look back on my life from my advanced age and I'm very proud of it. And I've had incredible richness in my life. But those shadows have been extremely powerful. And, you know, I've had to be a warrior all my life. And I think most people do. And, you know, it's just that there's a lot in life to be grateful for. And we keep on living. We should live that way. And we should continue to aspire to good fortune. So in order to do that correctly, we need to know the cards we're working with.
Well, it certainly helps. It's like having the roadmap. So we know where to direct our energies and we know what the shadows even are so that we can clearly confront them.
For instance, I'm a four of clubs, so I know what's expected of me. It's always been true. I try to make sense of everything. Four square. And the clubs are the mind. So my mind is always trying to get things four squared. So if we're going to talk about shadows, you know, a shadow of that is, oh yeah, Roth, good luck. We're going to stir the pot in a way that's going to be very hard for you to four square anything. And I do my best and I think I've done a good job of it. Because I'm drawn to do that all the time with this card.
Well, yes, and then as you say, reality is always shifting. As we know from Buddha's teaching, that reality is always arising and shifting and moving. And your shadow of your desire to have everything four square is, well, everything keeps moving. So I have to keep reshifting and realigning what that container is that I'm creating. So it's very important for you not to get attached to any one square that you've made and to continually re-square it.
Exactly. And that's been the life of that. So that's a four of clubs, but there are a lot of other cards in the deck. Let's use some other examples.
Well, we could certainly use my own as an example. Okay. The Nine of Hearts is my birth card. And at my best, it means a transcendent love where I am having an uplifted and inspirational emotional encounter with life. But then certainly it can mean that I go down as well. And so then the shadow side for me of the Nine of Hearts is my own private pity party that I climb down into this emotional well, and it's not a pleasant place to be when I feel like my love isn't returned or appreciated or acknowledged. Right. Then I get very personally upset.
Right. The big question is, how can I be the bright light with all this obstruction?
You know, and so then my lesson really, and through working through the shadow of my Nine of Hearts, is unconditional love. How do I shine my heart
light,
irrespective of what the feedback is?
But I think that's true for all the shadows and all the cards, is that the more we can live serendipitously, surrender, unattachment. Hmm. And my definition of unattachment is full engagement without opinion.
I like that. Full engagement without opinion. Yeah.
So we fully live who we're here to be and stop fetching about it.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I came to recently that's relevant is when Jesus was teaching about unconditional love as the path, it's really unconditional everything. Like full engagement.
Right.
Unconditionally doing it without connection to the conditions or the outcomes or the opinions.
And that's
unconditional everything.
And that's Buddhist unattachment. So it's, you know, similar. So what are our other cards? Let's talk about other cards that, because a lot of our audience are going to represent many different cards. And maybe we'll hit on some of theirs in this show. We'll do other shows. And certainly they know people who, I'm sure everybody knows people who have cards, any cards we're talking about.
Well, as you were talking, I wonder, do you want to talk about Donald Trump's birth card?
Isn't he a three of diamonds?
Three of diamonds, yeah.
Right.
So that the gift of that is being the compass, as we've talked about on other shows. But the shadow of that is incredible insecurity, where he doesn't know the way and can be really discombobulated and thrown off by criticism and feedback. So then to make up for his insecurity, he may be bullheaded and brash and brazen, which happens for the Three of Diamonds.
Well, what it is to me is that diamonds are the material world,
right?
You know, the world we live in, and threes are jugglers of many things. The three means that you've got a lot of balls in the air, so you're unoverwhelmed all the time, busy, and it's hard to keep track of everything. And so that's why it's hard to have direction when, you know, it's helter-skelter with all these balls in the air.
It can be, yeah.
Right. And so it can create a lot of insecurity because you don't know what's coming or going.
Or what to focus on.
Exactly. And we see that in him.
Right.
And you and I probably know a number of other threes in our lives that are unoverwhelmed because they're just attracted to so much. And so much is attracted to them too.
Well, they're hypersensitive as well, which we see in the critique of Donald Trump as well, that the three energy is hypersensitive. That's one of the reasons why they're overwhelmed. They're trying to juggle all the possibilities as a self-protective mechanism. And that's a shadow side of that energy. And the lesson is to be focused and to pick what Three of Diamonds, to pick what they really value and to stay on that course. And that can be challenging.
Right. And depending again on our conditioning, our soul journey, how we hold our cards.
That's right.
Because you can have a whole lot of different people with the Three of Diamonds, and some people are quite comfortable with it, with being uncomfortable.
Well, yeah. I mean, one of my favorite heroes of all time, Henry David Thoreau, was born to play the Three of Diamonds. And I feel from his philosophy very much setting that compass, you know, civil disobedience as a pathway, as a focus that influenced Gandhi and that influenced Martin Luther King Jr. So that's a really positive expression of that Three of Diamonds, of setting the compass of what really we value in our material world, what really matters.
Right. So that's Donald Trump. Any other famous people have cards that you could talk about?
Just think, like, who's in the news right now? Who's coming to mind? I just watched a Tom Cruise movie. He's born to play the Queen of Diamonds.
But how do you identify that with Tom Cruise?
Oh, I looked up his birth card.
No, but how do you identify the Queen of Diamonds with personality?
Well, I don't know a whole lot about him, but a few things that I've read is that he's a workaholic. And one of the things about the Queen of Diamonds is being a perfectionist, trying to get everything perfect. And so that can mean there's a shadow of being a workaholic.
It's a big responsibility for the queendom,
yeah,
to be the Queen of Diamonds,
yeah,
but for the good of all. And that's why he's involved with that Scientology. His idea is that that's for the good of all.
Well, it can be, yeah, for sure. And the thing about Queen of Diamonds, too, is there can be a lot of self-deception, actually, of what is really for the good of all.
And we see that in that Scientology too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I see that with the Queen of Diamonds people who I know, is they struggle with how do I really be magnanimous? How am I really actually selfless and nurturing and giving for the whole tribe? Or is it really just my own selfish greed that's at play?
Interesting. And that's the diamonds too, because there are other suits. My granddaughter, who just became 1 year old, is a queen of clubs. And so she's here to be very generous minded.
Yes. Well, that means she would have a lot on her mind as well.
Yeah, she's a very bright little girl.
So as a parent and as a grandparent, the encouragement would be to help her trust her intuition and to help her welcome into her waking reality all the non-ordinary experiences that she has, because the Queen of Clubs has access to all the field of psychic things that happen. And I've met many grown-up Queen of Clubs who were terrified by the things they saw and knew as a child. And they thought they were a weirdo or thought they were a freak because they knew when the neighbor's cat was going to die and things like that. And it's just too much to know.
Yeah. Actually, a friend of mine is an amazing scientist, and he's the Queen of Clubs. And I told him that he's a Queen of Clubs, that he's here to really give his mind to the world. And he is. I believe he's going to win a Nobel Prize at some point. Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of his brilliance is intuitive, too.
Well, that's right. And that's funny and fascinating for me. I've met many successful Queen of Clubs who are in, like, science position, or maybe they work on Wall Street. And if you ask them, they would attribute it all to their hard work and their logical, calculational abilities. And I've tried to let them know, hey, actually, it's your intuition. That's really what you want to pay attention to. But talking about the shadow side of the Queen of Clubs, they can be really scared of their intuition. They don't want to have these psychic moments. They'd rather make it all scientific and logical.
All right. Well, I guess it also, again, comes back to what our soul essence is within the card and how we're here to play it for some higher purpose.
And you could still be a scientist and then also just acknowledge the intuitive gift that you have that empowers you to, you know, solve complex problems.
Right, the idea is to, again, be unattached, unconditional about it.
Well, yes. And you know, apropos of what we're discussing about the shadow side, that is the shadow of the Queen of Clubs, is the fear of their own intuition.
Wow. Good to know. Now, my younger son, he's the Queen of Hearts. And everybody loves him. Yeah. He loves everybody. Yeah. But he's on overwhelm. You know, it's just amazing how too many friends he has. Wow. You know, this Sunday is, because we're coming up to the Super Bowl, and he's having a Super Bowl party at his new apartment. And he said, you know, it's going to be too crazy, Dad. There are too many people who are going to be. So that's he has that kind of world around him. Too many people who really love him and want to be in his life. So maybe that's part of the shadow of the Queen of Hearts.
Well, it is. The shadow of the Queen of Hearts is their love tank gets depleted. They give all their love and then it doesn't get refilled. And then they get angry and bitter and resentful about that.
Well, he has a lot of love pouring into him all the time. And so I think he's, for him, he's more on overwhelm, but it's just too many people to express his love to. And he can't seem to do enough of that. He is out all the time being, you know, loving with people.
Well, does he have moments where he just kind of withdraws into his shell?
he doesn't have much time for that. But he knows how to do that. He can,
well, I think loves
that space.
That could be the result of good parenting, as well as what you might call his soul's understanding of his purpose, which would tell me that he's actually facing his shadow fairly well, meaning he knows how to restock his own heart's reserves.
Yeah. I just always warn him that he's spreading himself too thin.
Parenting, right? I mean, because that is the shadow of the Queen of Hearts. They spread themselves too thin, and then they get upset about it.
Yeah, yeah. So what other cards would you like to look at? We have some time left.
Whatever you'd like to talk about, Peter. I'm
good. Let's talk about sixes.
Okay.
Because again, it's about responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, queens feel very responsible for their queendom.
Yeah.
And sixes feel very responsible to do everything correctly.
Right.
And
make it fair.
Or they just want to make sure that it's right. And fair justice, like my son is a six of clubs and he's all about justice. Everything is about justice. But when I meet people who are six of hearts, it's all about correct people. They're very fussy. Every time I meet a six of hearts, I say, oh my gosh, you're such a fussy person. You don't want any incorrect people around you.
Funny. They can get really hung up on etiquette.
Well, that's part of it. Sure. That's incorrect.
Right. Right. That's not how a person is supposed to behave.
Right, exactly. So they're very fussy about people in their lives. And the shadow is they're going to attract a lot of people to be fussy about. Right?
Yeah, can be. Well, also they get blindsided. And this actually can happen to all sixes, is because they're so focused on what's correct. And everything needs to be colored inside the lines, that then they get this kind of blinders on and they don't have the peripheral vision to see what's outside of their idea of what's correct.
Yeah, I see that. And again, that's the problem with correctness, is that it can be conditioned.
Yeah. Well, then it gets rigid too, and then it becomes a stuck kind of monotone, as opposed to a flexible, movable correctness.
Right. So there must be fear involved with whether something's correct or not.
Well, that's right. And it's actually very similar to what you would go through as a four. Like, I've got my box. Don't tell me to change my box. You know, the six is, I know what's correct. Don't tell me to change what's correct.
Right. And from my box, people come along with a big hammer all the time. Or axe.
Yeah, and this is what happens to sixes, and they can get blindsided by someone suddenly hitting them from the side
with something new and different,
right,
that they don't know how to place in its correctness or not.
Right. Or that they've been willfully avoiding, willful ignorance.
Right. Right. So.
And you're right. I like what you say about how they're going to be continually confronted with people who challenge their correctness.
Yes.
And
But the idea is to rise to the occasion. The idea is to know our cards, so we're ready for the challenges, for the shadows to them, and say, okay, I'm going to be the champion of my card.
And I like that. Yeah.
Do it in the best way that I can, knowing the shadows to it, knowing the challenges to it.
Well, right. And hopefully, and what this has been true for me, is that knowing the challenges helps me to relax and soften into the solutions. As the solutions are actually letting go of my ego attachment to that challenge, but actually softening and relaxing by knowing that that's the challenge. And then I don't get so caught up in it.
Yeah. And that's really important for us to stay mindful,
yeah.
You know, to have this objectivity about ourselves and life.
Well, right. And again, this has been so helpful for me, is to see that these patterns that keep repeating in my life through the Nine of Hearts prism, that that's a reflection of the energy of the card. It's not my soul, right? My soul is holding these cards and I get to play the cards. But if I didn't know that, I might confuse that and think that these patterns are me. And then I'm really attached to those patterns.
Right, so this is an opportunity to objectify.
Yeah, to see the difference between I'm holding these cards versus these cards are holding me.
Good. I like that. It really helps.
It really does for me, because it's so easy to play the victim card, quote unquote, and we feel victimized by these patterns that recur. And that's the frustration, is that
amazing. Yeah.
Just keep happening over and over again. Like, what's going on? I'm stuck in these patterns. Or we get to see, wait a minute, I am holding these patterns and now I have some power to shift how these patterns play out.
Right. Good.
By my free will.
Yes. So wonderful. And there's so many cards to talk about, and we're near the end of the show. It's amazing how fast time goes when
we're having fun talking cards.
Yeah. So, and people should know that, you know, we have these ruling cards mm-hmm. that are also in our hand. We have birth cards, ruling cards. We have so many different cards that I have had revelations about every card in my hand. And it's amazing that when I see a particular card, because they're under the guise of different planets, so they're ruled by the way the planets present our lives to us. That's so right. When I see a card, you know, a Jupiter card or a Saturn card or Mercury card or whatever, and that represents a different aspect of my being,
right.
I'll go, oh my God, of course. Aha, that's so helpful to know that.
Yeah, it's really true. And I know I've said it elsewhere, but I searched everywhere for my answers in life. And when I found the real meaning of these playing cards, it just put so much into place and
right.
gave me so much clarity that empowered me then to live the life that I'm born to live.
No, and I see that in you. So let's just talk again about how people can find you and your website.
Sure. So the website is lifeelevated.life, and you can look up your cards on the site. I also have a lot of free resources on the site where I send out daily readings and I do weekly live Facebook chats. And then you can also pick up the book on Amazon. It's called Play Your Cards Right: A Sacred Guide to Life on Earth.
Alexander Dunlop, so wonderful to talk with you. Thanks so much. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at prn.fm. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, H-E-A-R-T, river.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening. Thank you.